पवित्र मन रखो, पवित्र तन रखो, पवित्र मन रखो, पवित्र तन रखो, पवित्रता मनुष्यता की शान है। जो मन वचन कर्म से पवित्र है, वो चरित्रवान ही यहाँ महान है।
ओम शांति। गुड मॉर्निंग। The Hindi song that they play is usually connected with the morning murali. And so you kept hearing the word pavitra, pavitra. And I think everybody knows what pavitra means. Who doesn't know? Ah, interesting. Purity. Pavitra means pure. And so pavitrata, purity. So the murali is very much about purity. And when Baba talks about purity, then of course the first subject of lust comes in. But generally Baba's saying there has to be total cleanliness and purity. And the song is saying the same thing. Let there be purity in thoughts, words and actions. And then the last sentence was about purity in the mind. And just reflecting on this whole subject, thinking about how that moment when we reach our karmatit stage and we become completely pure, that is actually the highest state of purity that the soul ever attains. Because right from the moment we come down into Satyug, yes, there's purity, but just like the moon waxes and wanes, and right from the moment it's at its fullest, that night it's the best. But then, the very next day, little bit of difference. At first it isn't so visible for the first 2-3 days, but then it becomes visible. And so it's a very short space of time that it reaches that fullness, 360 degrees, or we would say 16 celestial degrees. And then gradually it starts to reduce. And so in terms of our own spiritual effort, Sangam Yuga is a time that whenever it is we reach that stage of total purity, this is when we actually shine and we experience what total purity actually is. And Baba's often spoken about purity both in Sakar and Avyakt Muralis. And thinking further about what is total purity, on the one side, clean, everything erased. And yes, I know it's all going to come up next cycle, but for half a cycle, and that's a long, long time, a stage in which the soul is so clean that I don't mind you being able to read my thoughts. Because in total purity, why should I mind? And so we're able to catch each other's thoughts, we're able to see what's going on in the minds of others, and so don't need so many words or debate or discussion, but we pick it up. And it's beautiful, because everything moves that much more smoothly. So you don't have to stop and say, but I didn't mean this, you misunderstood. Nowadays, so often, we have to explain, but why I said this. And it's also actually connected with the subject of trust. If somebody says something, and I trust, then you accept that there must be good reason, good motive behind what it is they're saying. And so within the Brahmin family, never mind out there, but to be able to develop my own trust in myself. And how do I do that? When I get the feeling that God trusts me, because I know I'm on track. Srimat, I don't have to imagine anything. Srimat is very, very clear. Right from the moment we awaken to we put our heads on the pillow. So am I following Baba Srimat? And if I am, then I know that Baba trusts me. And if I don't feel whatever, and nothing to do with anyone else or judgment or conditions or anything, just me and my conscience and Baba. And when I can feel that no, things are not as they should be, then I know that I don't feel Baba's trust in the same way. But when Baba trusts me completely, not just my faith in God, but God's faith in me, and in that stage, then yes, I can say I trust myself. And so this is why you can see why within the Brahmin family, that trust in the self is a question mark sometimes. And if I'm not trusting myself, impossible, really impossible to trust anyone else. And so the mind will always, always be suspicious in that situation. And to try and prove everything, to try and explain everything, becomes really complicated. One thing leads to another and another, and it becomes quite a big web. So it's not a straight line in which you're clearing things. More often it's many different factors that connect up. And so the journey of trusting myself with the power of Srimat, trusting others, and in contrast to the word trust, think about all the other things that go on in human hearts and minds. Again, today Baba has said, the heart is in the soul. Doctors will say the heart is in the body, which is true, but the heart of real feelings, is the bhavna, is actually in the soul. And Baba's used another very lovely expression that comes very often in the Sakar Murali, that this is the only time when you can give your heart to God. God is the one who takes your heart in order to be able to heal it. If you're not ready to give your heart over to God, He can't heal it. You have to trust Him and give Him your heart. Then He can change the valves, put in the tubes, He can do whatever is needed to get it sorted out and make it whole again. So, Dilwala, the one who comforts our hearts, heals our hearts, but it only happens when I give Him my heart. And if I'm not ready to do that, I'll say, my heart belongs to me, I'm responsible for it, I have to look after it. I've been hurt so often that I build up a barricade and don't let anybody near it. It's fine, I can do that. But then God's love isn't reaching me in order to be able to heal me. And so, and Baba said, humans can take the hearts of humans, but only God is able to take the heart of the soul. Very simple little difference. I read it twice, am I reading it correct? Because Baba did say, yes, humans can take the heart of humans. And so sometimes giving a little bit of support, a little bit of comfort, human kindness, important, compassion, important. But when it comes to the soul, and all the stuff that the soul is carrying, it's only God who has the power and the capacity and is unconditional and non-judgmental, and so it's able to completely heal the heart. and make it whole again, and free it from all other holes. So that state of total purity, being completely clean, and I'm connecting it very much with Baba the Comforter of Hearts. Why? Because we all carry a lot of sorrow from the past. And first and foremost, it's a lot of sorrow that we carry from before Gyan. And maybe we will say, oh, my life was quite comfortable, it was okay, it wasn't so bad. Generally, yes, we're pretty comfortable. But yet, the trauma that the soul has experienced from infancy, sometimes we don't even remember those things, and we don't need to go into histories and dig it out. But if today I'm not able to let go of sorrow, even though Baba is giving me so much love, I have to find out why I'm not able to experience Baba's love, or the other side of the picture, why I am not able to share pure love with others. What is it that makes me rough? What is it that makes my tone too strong or harsh or bitter? And all of this is going on within the Brahmin family. Not surprising, because in a way it's the last part of the process of cleaning. At one point people had asked Adi Gulzar, why is it that we are seeing so much come up within the Brahmin family? And she'd said, it's the last part. A, it's the last part of the cleaning, and the last very stubborn stains. When you're used to cleaning carpets or cleaning anything, you know that the stubborn stains are the last to go. And so they need the most elbow grease. You really need to work hard to clean those out. The little ones, the light ones, you've just given it a little rub and it's gone. But the strong ones, the deep ones, they don't go so quickly. And so the soul is clean, white. But then that's when you notice all the things that are still stuck there. And not only do you notice it, but others notice it too. But also Baba tells us that it's the last attack from Maya. And it's Maya's last chance. If Lokit people are now saying that it seems as if we don't have too much time, what are Brahmins saying? Oh, there's plenty of time, it's okay. I can't deal with it today, I'll deal with it tomorrow, it's okay. I can carry on for the moment just like that. If I try doing that, then I'll be stuck with those stains and I won't get to my karmatit stage. Because not only is there the opposition of Maya that comes up, because it's a last chance to hold on to her kingdom, but also times are going to get more and more difficult. And so to get quiet space for me to be able to check myself, change myself, do personal tapasya, who knows, maybe we'll have it, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll just be so caught up in firefighting because we'll be facing all sorts of situations. And I see that that's happening more and more. How often is it that you've planned your day, that you're going to do X, Y, Z, and then something happens and it throws your timetable out completely, which is okay, but you need to be pretty stable inside and to deal with it. And I think that that's going to be happening more and more. that we can't say, oh, I was supposed to do this and so I can't do this. Okay, is it urgent? No, let me keep it to one side and let me deal with whatever is immediate and urgent and not ignore it. So if situations like this are coming up more and more, and probably I'm sure you're having to deal with that at work, at home, in the world out there, friends, whatever, well, that's also going to increase. It's not going to get better. How far have I been able to see myself and do the tapasya that actually allows me to change my own sanskaras and remove the sorrow that I'm carrying? Infancy is one thing, but also, if today still my heart isn't full of love, and so my responses to people aren't sweet in the way that Baba wants them to be, it's my sanskara of irritation, impatience, still the traces of anger, control, all of these things, but maybe the cause of that is my holding on to sorrow. Because sometimes people say, I wasn't like that before, and I don't know why I've become that now. But when you start cleaning, then stuff comes out that you didn't know was there. But also it's because even little things that we weren't aware of before, now we realize on the basis of Baba's Muralis, on the basis of seeing the Dadis and seeing that human beings can be like angels, really, then that becomes a very powerful mirror. We call Madhuban the palace of mirrors. It was a term we used to use a lot. We don't use it so much anymore, but it was a term that in Sarkar Baba's days we used a lot, maybe because everybody did see Brahma Baba as the ultimate mirror. But now the Dadi is also Bab Saman, like the father, equal to the father. And so we do see them in that way. But not just Madhuban, any one of Baba's homes, Baba's room. Baba's room is a hall of mirrors, and so let me spend time there to be able to see. And then do very specific tapasya that I need to do to change the things that I've now been able to identify. I'm thinking about ego. And maybe that's really the last one to go. But the lust and the desires, the familiarity, the attachment, greed. It's Christmas. And so I won't touch on that for the moment. The control issues in terms of food and diet can start tomorrow after the Christmas feasting is over. But anyway, so what is it that I say I really like? At one point Daddy had said to us, she's going to stop saying I like this, I like that, or I like that. Why? Because if she says that once, then that's what people keep bringing her. She was at a center and they'd made dozens of things, as you can imagine. Not nowadays. Nowadays she eats this much and it's baby food, basically. That's how she can manage. Anything else she can't. But when she did enjoy good food, she was... Did you know Daddy is an excellent cook? Not all the Dadis are excellent cooks. Asked Daddy Gulzar to make a cup of tea. Her role has been different since she was little. Baba protected her and kept her out of anything on an external level. So she just focused on silence and yoga, and you can see the results of that too. Very beautiful. And she used to actually say, this isn't my business. But some of the dadis, very, very clever in cooking. Daddy Janki, number one. Baba used to always eat the tolis she had made. And you've heard her stories of how she used to cook for Baba when Baba was not well, and take it, cook in the morning, offer bhog, and take it by train, 7 o'clock in the morning, to get to Bombay, 10 o'clock, and give Baba breakfast. When Baba was in hospital or just in Bombay for programs. So, my point that at that time, Daddy mentioned that something's very nice. And then every time that sister would come to Madhuban, she would cook that for Daddy and bring. Daddy said, that's not my point. But you can see how, if I'm still in that stage of preference, like, then it means maybe I don't like. And so preference also, it's one of the indications of body consciousness. And so catch yourself and see, I like this. Whether it's food, whether it's people, whether it's cars, whether it's watches, whether it's devices, we are surrounded by Maya. Literally, so many different things that attract our attention, and we say, wouldn't it be nice? So, the whole subject of coming to the stage where truly the soul is detached. Detached from the body, detached from the things here. Here's a thought. In the month of January, so we let the feasting and everything, New Year, finish. But after that, maybe together we start looking at the Avyakt Muralis of the 1 week course on the subject of renunciation. Who remembers those? It was in the 80s. Yeah, it was early 80s, not late 80s. But it was amazing. You know, one Murali Baba said, renunciation is a very deep subject. Baba's going to tell you more about it. And 7 times or 8 times maybe, Baba took up Tyag, Tyag, renunciation, renunciation, renunciation. And it was an eye-opener for me at that time. And if everybody's interested, then that's maybe what we'll do. Yes, who'd like to do that? Oh, haven't seen such enthusiasm. But yes, it really will be very worthwhile. So, letting go, renounce. But on the other side, what is it that I'm inculcating? What is it that I'm consciously paying attention to come to the stage of becoming complete? Because it's not just emptying out, but it's also the filling. And so, how much am I filling myself? With what is it that I'm filling myself? The virtues, the powers. Yesterday, Baba used an expression which Baba's used before, but it again struck me. All of you are very knowledgeful, but you're not yet the embodiment of experience. And so knowledge is, yes, of course, important. I need to understand properly. But beyond the understanding, the experimentation, the practice, so that then I can experience what it is that Baba's talking about. And if there are gaps within that, and I'll be able to see if I'm looking, if I ignore it in business as usual and carry on, then if I haven't checked it, drama is going to bring me to a point where there's a barricade in front of me, and drama is going to make me see what it is I haven't checked. And so, let me check and see, out of the things that I'm hearing in Baba Smriti each day, and that is the purpose of Baba Smriti, to be the mirror, and so let me see, just take it in a very personal way. Avyat Smriti, of course, but a Sakar Smriti also. Baba is talking about this. Now, today, let me give it that personal attention and see how does it apply to me. Am I filling myself with the virtue, the power, whatever it is that Baba has categorically mentioned? When people say that Baba Smriti takes up different things even in one Murli, then Baba Sakar Baba was asked this question, Baba, why isn't the Murli on one topic? Avyat Baba takes up usually one topic. Then towards the end of the 90s and from 20 onwards, it wasn't like that anymore. By then it was Baba entertaining us more and talking to groups, talking to different wings, etc., and Baba playing to the gallery, in a sense. But the earlier Avyat Murli, been hearing them, one topic, one theme. But Sakar Baba didn't do that. Sakar Baba would take up many things. And Sakar Baba would say, well, the waves of the ocean come in many directions. And Baba wants you to learn to swim in the ocean. Swimming in the river, when it's moving in one direction, flowing, is easy. But the Sakar Murli is to help us understand things from an all-round perspective and become complete and full. And so, as I look at the different things that Baba's talked about, and the Dharana points are again there to help us very quickly identify what are the main aspects of Dharana that Baba's asking us to see. If I look at those and I use those as my mirror for the day, then that attention will make me aware of what is it that's missing, so that I'm cleaning and removing, but I'm also filling, so that I can become complete before time runs out. And so this last phase, in terms of the yajna, the age of the dadis, the role of avyakta bhaktada, the situations of the world, everything is telling us this. So now, my last part, my last period of effort, what do I need to do to become complete and perfect? And so the full state of purity, but also the total embodiment of experience. Why is it that when the dadis speak, it touches our hearts, and others can repeat the same words, but you just say, yeah, yeah, yeah. It won't have hit the heart. And it's because they're speaking with the authority of experience. So authority is the authority of purity, the authority of humility, the authority of truth. But most of all, it's the authority of practical experience of what Baba is saying. And so spiritual authority is something very beautiful. It's not an authority that imposes or controls, but it's an inner state that can be recognized. Jnani, non-jnanis, they see it and they feel it. And so when somebody said, well, I don't understand what that is talking about, 5,000 years and cycle and God incarnating. They were meeting Dadi for the first time, and she was doing an interview with them, and she was sharing all of this, and I was translating, and difficult to edit when, you know, she's spoken for 2 minutes and then you condense it into one or two sentences, it becomes pretty obvious. So then you have to be as true as possible and translate what you're saying. So afterwards I asked this person, what did you take from all that? And he said, well, I didn't understand it, but she's coming from her truth, isn't she? So beautiful statement. And of course he was also seeing that the big picture of truth, that's very different to what I say is truth in these terms of what is this, what is that, what is the other, but the absolute truth. So she's coming from her own truth, isn't she? So time to develop that spiritual authority so that we can show others the path to mukti, if not jivan mukti, at least mukti. We're going to offer bhog now, and after that it's Bhava Smrili, Om Shanti.
Sister Jayanti has asked to just shortly introduce. Been here quite a few times, but still every time there are new faces. Name is Rona. Actually, when I come here, they say this is Alan's sister. And when Alan comes to America, they say, this is Rona's brother. Came in Gyan in Rotterdam in Holland about 25, 26 years ago. Stayed in Rotterdam Center, then in Amsterdam Center. And from there, Baba took me to the Caribbean, the Dutch islands in the Caribbean, Curaçao, Aruba, Bonaire. And then from there to Spanish-speaking island, the Dominican Republic, which is neighboring to Haiti. And to start service there, started service in Puerto Rico also, next door there. And then also something in Haiti started that time. And since a year, Sister Mohini has asked to be in New York, in Manhattan. So, but in the early days, I used to come very often to London, but mainly to GRC. I used to help out a lot, but this is quite a while ago. So many of you, especially the older one, I know. But I was very young then. Daddy gave, because of Rona, which I hear all my Brahmin life, what that means in Hindi. So Daddy gave the name Hansa. Hansa means swan. Holy Hans, swan, very beautiful. Rona means, of course, in Hindi, it means crying. But in Pashto, in Afghan language, it means star. Hindustani in Suriname, it also means crying. So from little I used to hear that song. Even Indu Ben used to sing it for me. She doesn't remember probably. But star and swan.
Thank you.